You can turn in your Bibles with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 4, and we're going to look at verses 9 to 12. And just as you do that, just want to welcome my in-laws, Emily's parents. Please, you can welcome them on your own. So Dave and Robin are here from Georgia in the U.S., and actually, Vipin visited the church that they're members at in Conyers, Georgia. So you can ask Vipin about that experience. It was pleasant. But please welcome them as you get a chance. Speaking of friendship, they are two of the people that have meant a lot to me over the years. And I'm very grateful for them. All right, so Ecclesiastes chapter 4, and we're going to look at verses 9 to 12. So Ecclesiastes says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. So I'm going to do something a little bit different than we usually do with devotions and show how these verses relate to the message of Ecclesiastes as a whole. So Ecclesiastes is a really strange book. If you've read through it, it's a different book. It's kind of, I would say, an arresting book. You read it and you're like, what is going on? What is happening here? So what we're going to do just briefly is show how the bad news in Ecclesiastes really collides with the good news in Ecclesiastes and how that relates to these verses here about friendship and fellowship. So let's pray and ask God to help us in these brief moments. Father, I do pray that you would help us, that you would teach us. God, we thank you for your word. God, I thank you for Pastor Mark. I pray that you would let the word that he preached to us, let it sink in. And God, I pray that we would be those type of people that are with one another, that love one another. We thank you for this fellowship that you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so as we begin, I want to ask you a question that Ecclesiastes poses to all of us. And that question is, what would make you happy? What would make you happy? And I think Shannon talked about the CSB says in Psalm 1, talks about the happy man. So what is it that would make you happy? What if you had something, if you had something, what would that be that would make you happy? What is it that if you often find yourself daydreaming, if I only had that, I would be happy, or at least happier. If I only had that bigger apartment, if I only had that raise, if I only had that family, if I only had that thing, if I only had that extravagant vacation, I wouldn't be necessarily happy, but I'd be at least happier. So what are those things that that draw you and offer you happiness? What are those things? So Ecclesiastes is a book full of bad news, right? So I talked about how it's got bad news that collides with good news. So the bad news of Ecclesiastes is that life is meaningless under the sun. Life is meaningless under the sun. Nothing on this earth, nothing under the sun, in this physical realm, is going to satisfy me. And there's so many people. I've been talking to this guy who is not a believer, but he talked about how he thought once he arrived in Dubai, he would be happier. He would have more opportunities, he would have a better life, he would have a chance to make more money, he would be happier. But then he got to Dubai and had to go into debt to get to Dubai, and now he's in debt to his employer, and not only his employer, but the people back in his home country that put him in debt to them to get him to Dubai. So he's found out that this offer of Dubai and the happiness that is in Dubai is vanity. It's meaningless. There's no happiness here. So in Ecclesiastes, a man named Kohelet, or the preacher, he's searching out this question: what's going to make me happy? What would make my human heart happy? What would bring me satisfaction? And he looks out at the world and he sees everything is vanity. Everything is a vapor. Everything is like Abel's life. It is short and snuffed out. So the bad news of Ecclesiastes is very brutal. It's a very brutal, honest truth. You are going to die. Every single person in here is going to die. And so he starts thinking, how will I get satisfaction? How will I get happiness under the sun? So he starts seeking out things, and he learns. He tries all these different things. He says, pleasure is deceitful and fleeting. Worldly wisdom is deceptive and misleading. Work and toil, and if you work all that you can, you never get ahead. You always fall behind. The stock market always crashes. Politics never deliver. It's full of injustice and oppression. Money is here today and gone tomorrow. It can get very depressing. In Ecclesiastes 6:7, he says, all the toil of man is for his mouth, and yet his appetite is never satisfied. We're never satisfied. We're never satisfied. Everything that we do, we put in our mouth, and it's gone, and then we're hungry again. It's meaningless. This life is meaningless. In the end, well, not in the end, but his reflection is that all of life is vanity, quote, vanity, and an unhappy business. So that's the bad news, right? And you're probably ready at this point for the good news. What's the good news? So the good news is that Ecclesiastes is so carefully crafted that it tells us the bad news, and then the good news comes in full force and overruns all the bad news that he's just given us. So the second point that I have for us is Ecclesiastes' good news. Life is beautiful under the sun in the fear of the Lord. So what Ecclesiastes tells us is life, even though he talks about this vanity and meaninglessness of life, he also tells us that life is full of beauty. Life is full of bounty. Life is not meaningless, even though it often seems meaningless, and it is shot through with beauty and eternity all around us. So he talks about how the fact that God has made everything beautiful in its season, and he has set eternity in our hearts. So the reason why life seems vain, it seems meaningless, is because God has set eternity within our hearts. God has made us for himself. So the only way to have a meaningful life is to seek God, to find our happiness in God. The reality is that we are not machines. We are not AI chat boxes, right? We are not machines that we are creatures made in the image of God. And so what Ecclesiastes is telling us in our text is that we are made for community. So there's these points in Ecclesiastes that eternity just shines forth. So he's like going through and saying meaningless, pleasure is meaningless, money is meaningless, community. Community, that's something that is beautiful and is from the eternal. And so he looks at this community and he says, that is good, that is true, that is beautiful. And so he holds out to us this type of community where we rely on one another, where we hold one another accountable, where we live together. To live in isolation, to be a workaholic, to not live in relationships, that is meaningless. But to live in community, that is full of meaning and beauty. So it's a beautiful thing when someone falls and there's someone right there next to them to pick them up, to hold them, and to help them. It's a beautiful thing when our church has someone give birth or someone go through a period of loss or grief and people provide meals to one another. When people fall down, we as a church community come next to them and pick them up and help pick them up. So the thing is that Ecclesiastes shows us that life is not meaningless. Life is only meaningless if it's not in the fear of God. So what he's telling us in these verses is that a community that fears the Lord is full of beauty and truth. And that's where we can help one another, is to walk in a community that fears the Lord. And so for the book of Ecclesiastes, it's not just any community that he's talking about. It's not like a football club or your friends that you're playing football with or an arts and crafts group or a school group. No, in the book of Ecclesiastes, what matters is the fear of the Lord. So when he talks about these relationships, he's saying it's a relationship that fears the Lord. It's a community that fears the Lord that is meaningful, that can truly, truly help one another. So that question that I asked at the beginning, what would make you happy? What would bring you satisfaction? The answer that comes to our mind isn't often a community that fears the Lord. But that's one of the things that Kohelet, Ecclesiastes, the preacher in Ecclesiastes, is telling us. What brings you happiness, ultimately, yes, is God himself, but one of the gifts that God gives you is the community that helps you fear the Lord. So sometimes the meaninglessness of life, the seeming meaninglessness of life can knock us down, and we see suffering, or we experience frustrations, or we face a lot of busyness and anxiety. What we need in those moments is to press into that God-fearing community, to walk with one another. And those pressure points of life, like Kohelet says here, they might prevail against one who is alone. So the pressure of Dubai might prevail against one who is alone. It might prevail against one who's walking in isolation. But a community that fears the Lord is like a threefold cord. It's not quickly broken. So my encouragement to us is to walk in those relationships. Press into that community. Encourage one another to fear the Lord. And the amazing thing is we have this community as a gift. We don't have to create this community. God has already created this community of the gospel, and all we have to do is press into it and walk in it. So I would encourage you this week to press into that. Think about a practical way that you can press into a relationship, to press into this gift of community that God has given us, and let us together walk as a God-fearing community as Covenant Hope Church. Let's pray. Father, I do pray that you would help us. I pray that you would help us to walk in this gift that you've given us. We thank you for the gift that Covenant Hope is. We thank you for the gift of Christian community. And I pray that you would help us to practically live that out. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.